Now, last Sunday, Esther mentioned and quoted, come to the throne room with boldness. And today we want to go into that because it's part of the journey of grace and being enriched in every area. Being enriched in the grace of God, we can come to the throne room with boldness. But I think what God wants to share will just help us to really step into that, so it's no longer a fridge magnet for many that will listen. We've been speaking a lot about the reality of sort of being enriched in God's grace. And the writer in Hebrews, he speaks about entering into the rest, but into God's rest. What does that mean to enter into God's rest? That's pretty big. And I cannot describe to you what it is, because God's rest is beyond our definitions. I can only share with you the journey of growing into it and experiencing it more and more. And then all of us will be able to experience it. But this is God's rest. Wow, this is God's rest. And it's like a worship journey of just discovering the reality of what does it mean to enter into God's rest? That's because of the grace of God, and we are able to enter into God's rest. And so we want to spend a little bit of time of just looking at Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 3, and just looking at a bit of the journey that we have gone through at this time. I think all of us can maybe share aspects of God's rest. We've all entered into it if we've been born again. So we've experienced the rest of guilt and condemnation. It's no longer our reality. We've experienced the rest of salvation, of that incredible freedom from the fear of death. We now have this incredible living hope within us. That's part of God's rest. We've experienced the joy of being free from the power of sin and no longer wrestling and struggling with the power of sin and being free to be able to live as incredible children of God. We have tasted an incredible rest concerning our futures. When we die, we're not fighting death kind of thing. It's like, yes, there's this incredible hope. So there's aspects of God's rest that through Christ Jesus we have tasted, we have experienced, but it's not the fullness, you see. And this is where we have been enriched in every way in Christ Jesus to enter into more and more of the fullness and the experience of really living in the rest of God. How do we know that we've still got some growth to go? Well, who's worried about tomorrow? You see, we're not living in God's rest. Who's worried about how you're going to pay the bills in maybe 10 years' time when your pension is like zero? See, we haven't lived. We're not yet established in the rest of God, God's rest. And that. So I think all of us can say we're anxious, we're worried about all this simply because we are not living in the fullness of God's rest. And so when we're looking here at, when we read here in Hebrews chapter 4, let me just read that quickly there. In Hebrews chapter 4, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is one of the most incredible pathways, one of the most incredible journeys to experience the rest of God in our lives. And that's why that's such an important scripture that God wants us to begin to get more and more established in it. Now, Jesus speaks about a rest. And in John chapter 8, when he speaks about about truth. He goes on and he speaks to the disciples, he speaks to the people that are following him, and he's answering the Jews who believed in him. And Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. See, Jesus is speaking about rest, God's rest. It's another word for this rest is this total freedom. Freedom from strife, freedom from anxiety, freedom from being enslaved to sin, freedom from the fear of death, freedom from being caught up in the dominion of darkness. Christ came to set the captives free. And so where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. So this is another understanding of what it means to enter into and to experience the rest of God, God's rest. That's a big, and I just want to grow into God. I want to know more of what it is to enjoy your rest. Because I think God's rest is pretty awesome. Hey, absence of any strife, of evil, absence of anything that is out of his character, out of his nature. Through Christ, we have entered into it. And we want to grow into it. And so we got here where Jesus speaks about this and he says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And sorry, and they answered him. Looks like we both got some. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, I'll tell you the truth. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Speaking about entering into God's rest, he's speaking about sonship. See, it's the big thing, this rest of God. So all of a sudden, the reality of maybe being an orphan or being this second-rate citizen in the family of God, that's not God's rest. God's rest is in Christ. We participate in Christ's divine sonship. And we are truly, truly sons and daughters. Therefore, enter into the throne of grace with boldness. Do you think Jesus hides from his Father? Not at all. See? And in Christ, there's a realm of rest because we've entered into Christ's righteousness. All that God has been teaching us. So we can approach the throne of God. Because now part of this, as we're seeing, as Jesus speaks about this rest, he speaks about we have a permanent place. We belong. Sons belong. Incredible to the family of God forever. So there's an aspect which, and Jesus speaks a lot about what this incredible rest is all about throughout the scriptures and his teachings. So here in Hebrews chapter 4, well, let me just go to chapter 3 quickly, where the writer is speaking about Jesus being greater than Moses. And he's then using the example of Israel, because God had promised Israel to enter into a place of rest. But this was just a shadow of the reality. It was a prophetic reality of what it is to enter into the rest through Christ Jesus. And now he's comparing, but with Moses, that was there. But now in Jesus, this is the fullness of what this rest is all about. And so he then goes and he says, now as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, when your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation and I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my way. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. So here we see again, Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, the truth will set you free. And here we see with the example of Israel where God had spoken about the promise, the covenant that he had made with Abraham. But they did not hold to the teachings. Therefore, they never entered into that rest. They never enter into the reality of experiencing the freedom of that truth that God had spoken to Abraham about the promise that they have. So we're starting to see here the journey into this incredible rest is once again understanding the reality of hearing God and receiving and obeying and believing. So faith plays a crucial role for you and I to enter and to enjoy and to grow in God's rest. Is God concerned about our tomorrow? Are we concerned about our tomorrow? See, when we enter into God's rest, He's the all-knowing God. There's a rest in knowing and the confidence in knowing that He is the all-knowing God. And in Christ, everything has been completed. That's a rest for you and I to abide in, to be established in. Faith, divine persuasion, as the Spirit shares with us, the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ is a divine persuasion that we take hold of, but we receive it and we work with that faith. We renew our mind. We get established in that faith, what God has shared. Just as with the Israelites, they heard there, but they had to journey. They faced the obstacles. They faced there's no water, there's no food. They faced the obstacles of the enemy, but they did not combine faith to what God had promised. And they never entered into the promised rest that God had promised. Likewise, you and I will face the challenges of the day. But because God has spoken, because we are in Christ Jesus, because we have revelation of who our Lord Jesus Christ is, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you'll see will open up next year. But because of that revelation, you and I are able to face our difficulties and our challenges. But from a position of rest. Because of who our God is. See, because we've combined our faith to truth that the Holy Spirit has been sharing with us, whenever it may be, in our quiet times or whenever, there's a combination. There's not just hearing, but we are now taking hold of and we are working with that faith. Okay, fight the fight of faith. See, it's not just easy. There's a renewal of the mind. You're going through the struggles, but all the time we take that captive and we get established. But Lord, this is who you are. And rather go into a time of praise and thanksgiving and worshiping God so that again that faith can come alive within us as we face our challenges of the day. So Jesus speaks about this many, many times, but here we come and we see over here that did not combine it with faith. So he goes on and he says over there, see to it, brothers, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away, that rebels from the living God. Now notice the word living God, because we're going to come to the fact there that the word of God is living. See, so notice that word, the living God. He's not the dead God. He cannot lie. Every promise is a yes and an amen in His Son Jesus, because there's no other name above Jesus. And in Jesus, what God has promised is a yes and amen. You see, when you give an oath, when you take an oath, you use a name of someone that's got an authority and you do an oath. Here, God confirms and he gives a promise to Abraham. His name is above all. And then he goes on and he starts to share with us about the name of Jesus. And that's why when we pray in the name of Jesus, approach the throne of grace in the name of Jesus, we have something very profound and powerful happening in our prayer life, happening in our situations. We have the authority of Jesus, the involvement of Jesus, the sonship of Jesus. We've got the backing of the kingdom. So he says over here, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Because sin is very deceitful. We can justify unbelief very easily. We have come to share it in Christ. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we have at first. And then he carries on there again today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion. And then in chapter 4, we see over here, so you see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Oh. I like the audible Bible. No problem, Yvonne. Yeah. Be careful that none of you found to be fallen short of it, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard had not combined it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said, so I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as he said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And then it carries on, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following the example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, important, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, just Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we look at this and we notice here that the writer is taking us back to the time when God created. And on the seventh day he declared, it's the day I'm resting. Or the Sabbath, the sixth day. Is now the Sabbath rest. But how did God create the universe? Because it's important to understand this rest that God is speaking about. How did God create? Well, we see in Colossians chapter 1 that all things have been created through Christ Jesus. By him, for him. We see in Hebrews chapter 1 that Christ, he created all things. The Father created all things through Jesus Christ. So how did God create? He created through his Son Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. So who is involved in the creation? Who is involved in the rest of God? And that is why we enter into this rest that God is speaking about only through Jesus Christ. And this is where you'll find today many folk are going around and they're saying, you've got to keep the Sabbath. You know, as a child of God, you've got to keep the Sabbath. You've got to keep the Sabbath. And so the Sabbath day is the big issue. They're missing Jesus. See, Jesus is the big issue. It's in him that we've entered into this incredible God rest. And now we learn how to be established and rooted in Christ Jesus so that we grow and get established in God rest. That's our Sabbath rest that you and I have entered into. And that is why we go back to where God spoke to us a few months back now when we started the journey of understanding the gift of righteousness. Because here the writer is speaking about the throne of grace. Psalm 86 speaks about the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. So here we've got the throne of God's grace upon the pillars of righteousness and justice. And he says for you and I to enter boldly into this place, into the throne room of God's grace, to experience incredible grace that comes from God. But the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. Can you see why Jesus had to come as a man? Because Jesus lived righteously on our behalf. You see, the writer could not say to you and I, come to the throne room of grace because of the foundation of righteousness and justice if we're bypassing Jesus. Can you see why Jesus had to be born? So that you and I, through in Christ Jesus, you and I could receive His incredible righteousness as a gift of God so that Jesus at creation, creating mankind, and Adam and Eve, and all creation was living in this incredible God rest, operating in God rest. The ground, everything, operating, experiencing God rest. And then the fall of man comes, and what happened? The earth was cursed. No longer rest is a reality, because in the outside, sin has come in the realm. No longer is mankind living in this God rest. They are of God's rest. Murder, strife, history. Jesus comes because God has created us to be His family. Jesus is born as a man to live as a man without sin. So that He fulfills all righteousness. So that once again in Christ Jesus, you and I, by receiving the gift of righteousness, enter into God rest. Sonship, family, permanent. No longer slaves to sin and death, etc. That's why we celebrate. Lord Jesus, thank you for you coming as a man. The fullness of the deity live in bodily form. Powerful. For our sake. So we now have received that gift of righteousness. And what's the result? The foundation is righteousness and justice. Now because we have received the incredible gift of righteousness, what happens? God says, not guilty. So now we've been credited righteousness. Now our position has changed. Now God has said to us, because you are in Christ Jesus, I declare you not guilty. So now justice and righteousness has been met in Christ Jesus. And now what happens now when we read in Romans chapter 5? Now that He's declared us righteous, He's declared us not guilty, He has justified us. Therefore we have peace. Rest. You see? What our Lord Jesus has done for us. We have peace. This is another word for this incredible rest that we have entered in Christ Jesus. How peaceful is our minds? How peaceful is our emotions? What war is happening within us? See, this piece speaks about total wholeness. In other words, we go back to what Paul writes over there, we have been enriched in totality of our lives. Peace. That's what peace is all about. Being enriched in the totality of our lives. But by faith we must receive. That's why last week it was a time in the communion to receive. Lord, you have enriched me. I get into agreement. Because sometimes it's very hard to say, I've been enriched. But I don't want to deny truth. I thank you. Through your Son, you've enriched me in every area of my life. My relationships have been enriched in you, through you, Jesus. My health, my everything has been enriched through you, Jesus. I've received the truth. Now I have to walk in that and get grow in that and get established in that by faith. We haven't finished yet. We still can approach the throne of grace to receive mercy to help us in our struggle in life. You see, because of the gift of righteousness, and as a result, now we have been declared not guilty, and as a result, we now have peace. But it doesn't stop there. Now, this peace that you and I have, Paul writes in Romans 5, by faith, we now have access into this grace in which we now stand. Can you once again, when the writer in Hebrews speaks about hearing the word of God, but combining it with faith, we enter into rest. So there's a truth encounter with the word of God as the Holy Spirit shares truth to you and I. As we receive that truth, that's the entry into experiencing more of what God's rest is all about. If we reject that truth, we will not experience the reality of God's rest. We will be striving. We will be in our own works, trying to solve it, trying to deal with it, trying to capture, trying to whatever it may be, trying to sort it out, instead of entering into the finished work of Jesus, experiencing the grace of God, and beginning to renew our mind, experiencing the Holy Spirit's help to be able to live as children of God. So obedience to the truth that the Holy Spirit is sharing to you and I in our own lives, whatever it may be, is the opening to experience incredible rest in Christ Jesus. We've got much to be thankful for, but also as this becomes more real for you and I, for the body of Christ, and that's why today we'll pray for the body of Christ, for the body of Christ in our nation to be able to live in more of this rest of God. Imagine the enriched words. Imagine the enriched knowledge. Because it's now words in rest. It's knowledge in rest. God's rest. His sovereignty. He's the all-knowing God, all-powerful God. Imagine as we're praying for ourselves and we're praying for the family of God in our community and our nation, for the Holy Spirit to give revelation so that as the family of God, we're now learning more and more, living in this incredible rest. Imagine the prayers in the name of Jesus. That's now flowing out of the powerful, enriched grace. Imagine how powerful are those prayers. How God answers those prayers. And all of a sudden, more and more we experience what you ask in the name of Jesus. It will be done so that the Father is glorified. Because those prayers are rooted in faith. They're rooted in rest. Faith and rest cannot be separated. They go together. If there's no rest, there's not faith, there's unbelief. We're still battling in the area of believing that. Okay, we're still striving, there's no rest. Okay, so that's why, Esther, the verse is very, very important for all of us. So then he goes on, and the Hebrew writes over here, let us then approach, that's the invitation, speaking about Jesus without sin, holy forever. The great high priest who's able, he as a man, he's able to understand our humanity, able to understand our battles. And therefore, he's the one that constantly is in the throne room of God, interceding for us, serving and ministering to us. And then we see, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we have, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. I think that word confidence describes it as just such a freedom, such a joy, such a confidence, because we are the righteousness of God. Such a confidence that the Father through Christ has said, not guilty. So we're not approaching ashamed. We're not hiding like Adam and Eve hid because they stepped out of rest, so they were hiding. See, these are all symptoms to help us to understand whether we're in rest or we're not in rest. If you look at the examples in the Word of God, you see all the examples that help us to recognize, yeah, I don't really believe you, God. I'm not at rest. I'm in panic mode. And that. So what do we do? Oh, guilty? No. You see, God loves us and he doesn't want us to remain in this position of unrest, because in Christ we have rest. We just don't yet realize it. And that, so we need to get the revelation and grow it. So that's why it says, no, you may be battling with unbelief. You may be battling in this anxiety. You may be battling about tomorrow. You may be battling about your past, whatever it may be. Come to the throne room. Come to my Father, seated on this incredible throne of grace. Because from the throne of grace, my Father is totally involved and you have been enriched in every way. Come and receive enrichment. Come and receive life. Comes from our Son Jesus. Come and receive the victory of Jesus. So that's the invitation. No hiding. It's come boldly because of we are in Christ Jesus. Remember, we are co-heirs. Remember, we partake in his sonship. Again, as I said, Jesus is not hiding from the Father. He's there. We come there to our Heavenly Father. And on this throne that our Father is seated with righteousness and justice, fully met in his Son Jesus. We are in him over there, dealt with. Now we can come and we can experience and share and say, Father, I need help. And he goes on and he says, with confidence, so that we may receive. Not maybe. Not maybe depends on whether you're good enough or not. Not maybe you haven't fasted for 91 days, and therefore not going to get an answer. Not maybe conditional. No, Christ has met all the requirements on our behalf. We're coming with faith in his name because of revelation truth that we have received about the gift of righteousness. So now we approach the throne with confidence. And then he goes and he says over there that we may receive mercy. Now mercy, this is a profound truth here, because this mercy, what it means in the original is loyalty to covenant. Covenant loyalty. Covenant love. So now our Father through his Son Jesus has made a covenant, this new covenant. And God is loyal to that covenant. See? So now we come in the name of Jesus. Guess what? Our Father is loyal to the fact that in his Son we have been receiving enriched grace. In his Son, we have an answer over here. Because of a new covenant that our Lord Jesus has made with his sacrifice. So this mercy, when we come to the throne of grace, God's involvement, God's sharing, giving himself fully to us because of his Son Jesus, what he has done, we receive this loyalty of God, the covenant loyalty based on his Son Jesus, what his Son has done for mankind, everything of the Father, all his ministry to us, his involvement in our lives is based on that covenant that his Son has made on our behalf. We have an incredible great high priest who serves in the most holy of holy place, intercedes for you and I. So we come in the name of Jesus, covenant loyalty from our Father. That's mercy. You see? Yo, can you see how much, that's why, can you see, can you receive, can you celebrate the birth of Jesus? Coming God. We have been created through Christ Jesus. We fell out of the family of God. But we were created to be in the family of God, as children of God. And Jesus says, Father, this is not the reality. They are our family. You prepare a human body for me. I'm going to do your will. So that as I live sinless life on this earth, because they could not do it, I'm going to restore them. I'm going to make a way so that once again through my life, they can come and be family again. This is our Lord Jesus. This is the birth. This is a celebration of the Son of God coming in the human body. The full deity living in this human body. That's why he's the image of God. And we have the fullness of God as children of God. We won't go into there, but that's another day. So that we may find grace to help us in our time of need. Because of God's loyalty to the covenant that his Son has made, him and the Father has made for us, now we are able to receive God's incredible involvement. Because grace and truth comes through Jesus. Now we come to that throne of grace because of Jesus, God's loyal to that covenant, now we receive. So remember, we're not going into a maybe. Father, thank you, I can come with boldness. I need help. I'm having a wobbly over here. This is a situation. This is what's happening. I'm a bit scared about tomorrow. I'm a bit whatever it may be. But I come through your Son, Jesus. And I thank you. I need your covenant loyalty here to help me. Because you said in your word, you said that you will keep me strong to the very end. Covenant loyalty. You said that by your Holy Spirit, you will guide me into all truth. Covenant loyalty. We will receive help. And it's interesting, this word, let me just explain quickly here, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's a big thing, because it's not about I'm coming and God's going to now answer me in like 20 years' time. I've got a need. This is about timely need. This is about a now involvement with our Father, with us, coming to help us in our time of need. It's a now reality. It's not about praying and maybe next year, December, God's going to answer our prayer to help us when we were battling with unbelief a year ago. No, it's a now reality. So, come with boldness. Come with confidence to the throne room of grace. Because of Jesus Christ. That's why he's the answer for the nation. Because when we start to realize, but Lord, this nation is your inheritance. We're going to learn how to pray for a nation in the throne room of grace. We're going to learn how to pray for ourselves, our families, you name it, from the place of the throne of grace. On righteousness and justice, holy forever. Amen. Father, we want to just thank you for making an incredible way for us, for all of humanity, to be able to be permanent in your family as sons and daughters. Jesus is your way. He is the life. He is the truth. So Jesus, as we sit together around the table with you, today we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate this incredible covenant that you have made. And to celebrate, Father, that you are loyal to this covenant. And all your dealing with mankind is always going to be through your Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we read here in the very first verse of Hebrews chapter 1, that in the past you had spoken through the prophets and etc., but in these last days you have spoken through by your Son, Jesus Christ. And from this moment onwards, we know that you are so loyal to your Son's death, resurrection, to what he has done for mankind. So today we receive, as you just, I just see how many are just receiving and appropriating the power of your blood, Lord Jesus, in bringing such a freedom and loosing us from so many things that has held us back, because we believe in the all-sufficiency of your blood, your sacrifice. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your incredible body as we break the bread and we just experience the reality that your body was the most incredible, perfect, holy, holy sacrifice that could take upon mankind all of our sins. And it was accepted by the Father. But Lord, the joy is that you are the great high priest. You entered into the throne room of grace. You entered to the Father and you presented yourself as an incredible sacrifice. And today, as we eat, as we partake, we receive Jesus. We receive everything that you have done. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will guide us into this truth. Open it up day after day, that we may grow in revelation. And every time we receive revelation, more and more we grow into the likeness of you, Lord Jesus. Because you've created us to be like you, Father. And we want to thank you for that. So thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. And we receive today. Amen. Amen. As we have communion, you might want to just again just get established in what God has been sharing this morning. But also you might want to just bring families and just come to the Father with confidence. Father, I'm speaking and I'm praying for my family based on Jesus. I'm bringing Jesus as the sacrifice for the family members. He is the perfect sacrifice. Let him, his blood speaks a better word. And so we as kingdom and priest, we present and we bring the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done. The Father is loyal to that covenant. Receive by faith. Amen. Amen. Please come help yourself.